Greetings and happy Friday. I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, the voice of the North Shore, Bill Newell, and this is Trending Now with Josh Arnold. Josh, not here today. Be back with you next week, and in a couple of weeks, I guess. And this is our new time slot for now on Fridays. We're going to run these at 10 a.m., and of course, then it's on demand, and we put these up as a post on the website as well as an individual MP3. Glad you are with us. We've been doing this for a while now in various formats, but today we have sort of an updated news information program, if you will, an interview program. So let me just turn off the music here and tell you what we have planned. This morning, we will be talking with Karen Hurlitz, who's the media director at the Shilin Lu. And there's a big weekend coming up at the Shilin Lu that we want to tell you about, and other things going on as well. Of course, it's that world-famous performance center up in Rockport that seems to me to be brand new, but it's been around for a while already. Then we'll talk with Andrea Jones. She's the director of the North Shore Hawk program, and she's been on the job for a few months now, and she'll give us an update as to what Hawk is and does in the area and how you can avail yourself to services if needed. And we'll talk about the Hawk website and so on. Also be chatting later on with Danvers Select Woman Diane Langley. Now, there has been some controversy, or at least some articles in the paper about some controversy regarding the traffic pattern in Danvers, and we'll talk about that. I think that will be familiar to a lot of our listeners in the area. We'll also talk with Greg Verga, who is a musician, as well as a former city councilor in Gloucester, keeps his eye on politics. But Greg has a new program that we're going to be promoting here on msonewsports.com. So we hope that you will stay with us, and maybe another surprise or two, as well as we'll check our news hotline, as they say. Don't forget North Shore Today, already posted on MSO News Sports, just above this post. And latest information and interviews and some discussion, too. Bill and I talking over some local stories and other stories as well. So we'll take a very quick break here and come back with our first guest on Trending Now with Josh Arnold on this Friday, a spectacular day here on the North Shore. We'll be right back.
MSO Radio, North Shore Now, news and sports. Marketing and advertising slots are now available on msonewsports.com. Banner advertising, radio commercials. We have numerous marketing and advertising opportunities on our website. Banner advertising, radio commercials in both news and sports programming. Catch on with us now. We have special spring and summer promotions. We are providing an exclusive product, radio and video features with North Shore newsmakers. For more information, click on the advertise button on the top right-hand corner of our webpage. MSO Radio, North Shore Now, news and sports. Monday nights at 7, it's North Shore Sports Night, the North Shore Sports Talk Show with Rick Moore and Tim Kearns. MSONewsSports.com.
All right, and we do have Director of Marketing on the line now from the Shilin Lu. Shilin Lu, boy, it's not easy for me to say it this time of day. Karen, I haven't had my second cup of coffee. Let's say welcome to Karen Hurlitz. How are you?
I'm great. Yourself?
Okay, except I need that second cup of coffee. Karen, we haven't talked a while, and I want to get an update as to what's going on. I know there's a big weekend planned up there in Rockport with the Shilin Lu, and I want to get to that in a second, but I am absolutely surprised that it's already been, what, 5 or 6 years that the Performance Center has been there now in Rockport?
Yes, 6 years next month.
6 years. Now, how is it related to Rockport music? Because whenever I look at Shilin Lu or Rockport music, the names are intertwined.
Correct, because Rockport, the Shilin Lu Performance Center is the name of the venue, but it is Rockport music. We built the building. It's not that we own the building or bought it, we built the building. So Rockport Music and Shilin Lu Performance Center are one and the same.
All right, it's a spectacular venue. I was there recently for a concert. It's so comfortable. The acoustics are just phenomenal, and you just have such a world-class program.
Well, thank you very much. We are very fortunate to have such a beautiful space.
You have had some changes recently. Maybe you can allude to those very quickly for us.
Changes?
A new music director coming in, is that correct? Or?
Oh, okay, yes. Our Rockport Chamber Music Festival artistic director has decided he wants to go back to performance more full time. So he has asked to step down. Mm-hmm. He's given us a, he gave us about 2-year notice, and so the board and search committee, they are in the process of reviewing applicants and candidates for that replacement.
Okay, and that's David, is it not? I think I was up
David
there.
David DeVoe, yes.
Yeah, David.
He's the current artistic director, and he's still going to be the artistic director through next year's Chamber Music Festival.
Okay, then I pushed the button a little too quickly. Okay.
All right,
you have got a very eclectic menu, if you will, but starting this Saturday, please tell us about the fantastic program you have lined up.
Oh, on Saturday, that's actually Magic Dick and Yung Shung. That is actually a guest presenter, so it's some a concert that is brought by a third-party presenter.
Oh, okay.
All
right.
So our next big thing that we're doing is in 2 weeks we open the Rockport Chamber Music Festival, and it'll open with pianist Manon Pressler and the Parker Quartet, and there'll be about 23 different concerts in the Chamber Music Festival over the next 5 weeks. But then starting back in July, and we present all year long, but starting in July, we actually also have all of our non-classical starts up.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have everything from John Poussette Dart to Chick Corea Trio with Christian McBride, Booker T. Jones, and all of those, even a Beatles tribute band, so all the non-classical, and it ranges from everything. We have Arlo Guthrie coming, all of the, we even have Ani DeFranco in September, and then we also have a jazz festival in August.
All right, well, we'll get to that, but let's go to the first weekend on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, June 3, 4, and 5, and maybe, again, a quick summary of what's going on, because the weekend looks absolutely packed with tremendous classical music.
Yes, the Parker Quartet and Manon Pressler, it's going to be an amazing concert. They're going to be doing works by Haydn, Bartok, and Dvorak. Saturday night is a really fun and interesting percussion ensemble. It's the world-renowned percussion ensemble, but it's more than just you're not going to hear all, you know, snare drums. It's they do a lot with marimbas and it has a lot of contemporary music in it as well, but also very tonal. Sometimes people hear contemporary music and they think it's going to be atonal. It's actually very tonal.
Mm-hmm.
But they're the foremost percussion ensemble in the world. And then on Sunday is Trio Solisti, and this is an amazing piano trio. They're ensemble in residence at Adelphi University, and they're the founders of the Telluride Music Festival. So they'll be... That's an incredible concert.
Wow.
And that all starts in 2 weeks.
And I'm noticing that on each of the, or at least two of those performances, you have something called a pre-concert talk. One is at 7 p.m. for Nexus, the percussion group, and one is at 4 p.m. How does that work?
So we have guest speakers come in, and they're usually musicologists or music professors that are specifically knowledgeable in a particular area. And they come in, and it's open to all ticket holders who come to the concert. You can come an hour early, and it's about 30 minutes long. And you come in, and the lecturer will talk about, and they'll have musical examples, and they'll start telling you about the music so that it'll enrich the experience of hearing the music if you know more about it. So they tell you about the composers, what was going on at the time in their world when they composed this, or compare it to what else was happening at that time. Amongst the composers of the time. So
amazing.
Yeah, so it's to get to know a little bit more about it, and it's free to all the ticket holders.
All right, and finally, best way to get a hold of the information, tickets, and so on for the Shilin Lu?
You can order through the website at rockportmusic.org or give a call to our box office at 978-546-7391.
All right, and you know, I do have one quick question. You have a lot of shows, particularly a percussion show just jumps out at me, that look family-friendly, and I don't know if this is the proper question to ask, but is there an age limit on the lower age limit for children?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all. And just so you know, under 18 and under, so high school and under, are free.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
Tickets are free, and actually even college students are only $12.
Fantastic. All right, Karen.
And, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, anything else you do want to mention before I let you go?
Well, you mentioned about family-oriented. We also do quite a few community and family concerts, and even on that Saturday of opening weekend, June 4th, that morning at 10 a.m., the Parker Quartet from the opening night are going to be doing a family-friendly free concert.
Fantastic. Oh, my goodness. Well, Karen, I hope we can do this on a semi-regular basis, and I do want to come up there, of course, and talk with you and sniff around again and maybe get some more interviews, if I may.
Wonderful. Love it.
Thank you, Karen. Have a terrific weekend.
You too.
Bye-bye. That is Karen Hurlitz, who is the marketing director at the Shalin Lu Performance Center, and you can get a hold of tickets and information by just going to the website, rockportmusic.org. Rockportmusic.org. Fantastic. Okay, we'll take a break. I need to get the board in order here, and then we'll see if we can get a hold of Andrea Jones, who is the Hawk director for the North Shore. And let's see. We press this button, and we'll be right back. This is Trending Now with Josh Arnold.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
After immunizing more than 2 billion children, Rotary Club members are close to wiping polio from the face of the earth. Thanks to a matching grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, every dollar Rotary raises will work twice as hard to protect children against polio forever.
Rotary is a worldwide network of community volunteers dedicated to helping people in need. Rotary believes the right group of people working together can make communities and the world a better place. Make an impact. Join a Rotary Club in Rhode Island or Massachusetts. For more, go to rotarydreams.org.
All right, after misdialing, I have the right number taken care of now, and we are bringing on Andrea Jones, who is the... Andrea, what's your official title? Is it Director for North Shore Hawk?
It's Director of Community Programs and Partnerships.
Director of Community Programs and Partnerships. Okay, I'm going to say Director of Hawk, but anyway. But first of all, welcome to MSO, and I know that in our discussion yesterday, getting to know you a little bit by phone... you were relatively new to your position, so as Josh Arnold would do, he always asks our guests to maybe give a little biographical background as to their education, their professional lives, and how they got to where they are.
Sure. So I've been in the nonprofit field for over 20 years now. I'm a licensed social worker by training, but over the course of my career, in the past 10 years, I moved into more of a management role, helping agencies with program development and staff, overseeing staff who are doing the direct service. I started out just out of college. I was a VISTA volunteer, Volunteer in Service to America, as well as AmeriCorps, which are both national volunteer service projects. And that really helped me decide, you know, where I wanted to be in the field, and it gave me opportunities to work with in Dorchester at the Colonel Danny Mao Boys and Girls Club. And then when I was with AmeriCorps, it was Health and Education Services, but now it's the Leahy Behavioral Health Arm, where I worked with the Victims of Crime and Loss Program, working with survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault, providing counseling, and also worked with the North Shore Rape Crisis Center. And so the early part of my career was very trauma-focused and working with a national team, providing response to folks who had witnessed witnessed crime or have been a part of a disaster. For instance, in after 9/11, I went to Ground Zero to help debrief some of the eyewitnesses there. So I spent a lot of my career in the world of trauma, but when I had my oldest daughter, who's now 11, I took a break and I went into more of a management role.
Good heavens. Wow. Wow. I'm just thinking, you know, I'm a retired high school math teacher, and I think of how emotionally draining teaching is. I can only imagine how stressful your job must have been from in certain days.
Yes, it definitely. you had to find a good way to break, you know, put up a good boundary from work life.
Well, I talk with a lot of police and fire people, and and you know, one of the things that they say to a person is that they really do have to separate the job from personal life, and so that they can sleep at night. And have you dealt with that in counseling, you know, first responders as well?
Yeah, we talk a lot about self-care and what rituals or routines they may do to help separate the two. Some will say that it's impossible and they have a difficult time, and other times, you know, people find it a little bit easier. And some days are easier than others, but we talk a lot about self-care, because if you're not taking care of yourself, it makes it really difficult to take care of others.
Well, one thing I noticed that with, you know, Vista and so on, I'm really thrown back to the 60s and the volunteerism that President Kennedy was advocating. But all of this is just so, I'm amazed at all of this. It's just coming at me in ways. My dad was an Iwo Jima survivor, and then he spent 30 more years in the service with 3 tours of duty in Vietnam. And he came from that era when, well, you don't talk about this stuff, a man is a man, you know, and we don't worry about it. However, you know, he was a 4-pack-a-day smoker. He was, what would you call it, a closet alcoholic. He was a functioning alcoholic.
Right.
And he had his radio on 24 hours a day when he was home in the States for white noise. So we've come a long way in terms of education with all of this trauma, have we not?
Yes, absolutely. We're, you know, the new term is people are trauma-informed.
And Okay. Oh. Well, that makes sense. Now, let's get to the area here. Now you're relatively new in your position, so tell us about your position at the North Shore HAWC facilities.
Great. I've been with HAWC since October. HAWC stands for Healing Abuse, Working for Change. And the organization is over 30 years old here, and we I came to the team as to help reconnect with different community agencies that we work with. I oversee the community-based services, and so what that means, we have 4 offices. We have an office in Gloucester, an office in Lynn, an office in Salem, as well as an office at North Shore Medical Center. And we have advocates that work at each office and serve folks who live in that town, as well as people from other communities. HAWC serves over 23 communities, or serves 23 communities. And so we see people from all over the North Shore, Essex County, and people can have access to any one of those offices. So I supervise the advocates that work there, as well as oversee some of the contracts that we have. We most of our funding comes from DCF, as well as local grants and fundraising, and so I work with the grants director to help look at new programming that we can fund, as well as help provide reports on services that are being delivered.
Right, we're talking with Andrea Jones, who is the Director of Community Programs and Partnerships at HAWC on the North Shore, and so many questions I have in so little time. First of all, Andrea, do you know why the change of name, when that came about for HAWC?
It was important for HAWC to be more inclusive to the community that we were serving. The former HAWC was help for women and children, help for women and children.
Mm-hmm.
And we were serving folks, not just women, and we had men who are victims of domestic violence. Mm-hmm. And so it was important for us to be more inclusive and representative to the community that we serve.
Okay. Donald Trump headline recently about bullies. Get over it. Rotten advice, is it not?
Yes, absolutely. Anything Donald Trump says is rotten advice.
Oh, okay, all right. but again, that was the old school fight back, you know. But it's much more complex in this day and age.
Mm-hmm.
So I noticed that when I went to the HAWC website, you have a link to the website as well, and discretion that is even on the website tells of how careful the Hawk organization is to work with people and to try to get people into a safe environment and a safe culture. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. Yep. So our advocates work, folks who call, they're questioning, am I being abused? Or people are sure they're being abused and they want to flee from a violent situation in the home. And our advocates work to, first start where the caller's at or the client's at and see how they can help safety plan with them and keep them safe and educate them and empower them to know their rights and to understand what abuse is and how they can protect themselves and possibly, leave the situation.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sorry, go ahead, please.
Nope, go ahead.
Okay, well, is there an education program for, support systems in the community, such as schools and fire and police and so on? Does Hawk get involved in that, or is it strictly a first aid, first response type organization?
No, we do a lot of training and outreach into the community and specifically into the schools. In fact, anybody who wants to volunteer with Hawk has to first start with our 33-hour-long training to be trained and get an understanding of Hawk services, advocacy skills, domestic violence. And then we go out. We're at North Shore Community College once a month doing table events, talking to students about domestic violence and what we do. We just worked with the Beverly Police Department 2 weeks ago. They have a group of interns that were from Beverly High School, and we went out. We did a presentation around abuse and education, so we absolutely work with mm-hmm. work with the local community to provide training.
Now you're in Gloucester, Salem, and Lynn, and where are these? I don't know. Can you give the addresses of where they are? Is that something that would not be a good idea?
Well, the best place that people need for walk-in services is to come to our Salem location. We're at 27 Congress Street in Salem. And in Gloucester, we're in the Action Building, mm-hmm. Which is right there on Washington Street. And then in Lynn, we're on Central Street. And we don't, it's better to call the offices in Gloucester and Lynn for appointments. But in Salem, there's advocates here who take walk-ins during regular office hours.
Okay. Now, some people I know are reluctant to get involved, they're reluctant to go walk in and so on. However, we do have the internet and we do have phones. So what would you recommend if someone really is, saying, geez, I don't know if I really want to make this call or not, but, I don't want to be seen outside. What's the best way to do it? By telephone? And do you have a number that you would recommend?
Yeah, we have a 24-hour hotline that's available, and everyone who answers the phone is trained and has gone through our training. And that phone number is 1-800-547-1649. Again, that's 1-800-547-1649, and that's Hawk's 24-hour hotline.
All right, and again, the other thing is discretion. I mean, I'm sure that you are able to reassure anybody listening that there is complete confidentiality.
Yes. If you call the hotline, it's confidential, and we don't ask for a lot of, we only ask for information that folks want to give us, and you can talk to a trained advocate on the phone, and if you want further services, we can connect you back to the office to have an intake with one of our advocates. And if someone comes in for service, we keep that information confidential, and we don't speak to anybody else without the client's permission.
The Angel program in Gloucester has taken off. It's in many communities on the North Shore now. It's across the country, as a matter of fact. Is there a relationship, and I don't know if this is a totally ignorant question or not, but is there a relationship between drugs and domestic abuse?
We've seen, we are not trained substance abuse counselors, that's for sure, with our advocates, but we definitely see with alcoholism it could increase the violence in the home.
Mm-hmm.
And we also can see some self-medicating, but we definitely can see alcohol can increase the violence in the home.
Okay.
Create safety issues, but we don't work directly with the ANGEL program.
Right. No, I wasn't suggesting that. I was just suggesting the connection, and with education and so on. Are the statistics getting better? I mean, Hawk has been around, I think you mentioned, for 30 years. And there's been an awakening, certainly. We see a lot of activism in terms of, stop the bullying and stop the domestic abuse. Is there improvement overall?
I think that education is definitely improving, and people are coming, becoming more aware of how to help and seek support. But the, you know, the numbers unfortunately aren't decreasing. I was just looking at our statistics, this, you know, today from, you know, last year compared to this year, and you know, we're still serving the same amount of people. It's not going down, unfortunately. And on average, we're getting, you know, anywhere from 25 to 30 new. 30 new people coming in every month looking for services on top of the people who come in regularly for our services. And, you know, across the state, last year there were 26 deaths related that were homicide related to homicide.
Good Lord.
Domestic violence. And just this year we've had some recent homicides. So, unfortunately, the it's even with all the advocacy and education, domestic violence, it hits way too many homes.
Yeah. It's insidious. There's no doubt about it. And however, I think one, being a math teacher, I'm just wondering if the numbers haven't gone down because more people are becoming aware of the program and more people are willing to check in and get some help and maybe help each other out. I don't know. But
yes.
But hopefully the numbers will go down. Well, Andrea, it's wonderful that there are people like you and the people you work with who do this because God knows it's necessary and it's so difficult to deal with. What advice do you have for observers who may not be directly involved but who may have suspicions or may hear things? What do we as possible witnesses do to try to help?
Continue to be a friend. Friends can make suggestions to possibly call HOG or ask for help. Stand by them. Sometimes we hear a lot from family members and loved ones of those who are being abused that it can feel draining and, you know, it takes an average of 7 times for someone to actually leave the relationship. And that can get tiresome on a family member or loved one. And so just to be consistent and to be there, offer support, but don't demand that they leave the relationship. Their friend themselves can call the hotline and get information on ways to help.
Okay.
Help out their friend.
Mm-hmm. All right. And finally, what can Joe Citizen do to help the HOG program?
Well, we can't do what we do without the community and the support. And so if you'd like to volunteer, you can give us a call. We have many volunteer opportunities on our hotline, in our office with administrative support. In our courts, we provide legal advocacy to folks who are seeking restraining orders or harassment orders. We're in Gloucester Court, Peabody Court, Salem District Court, Salem Probate Court, and Lynn District Court. There's opportunities to donate financially. You can visit our website at www.hocdv.org and donate online, or you can call our office at 978-744-8552 to make a donation. But giving of your time or giving to us financially is a great way to support our organization. As well as, you know, we've had some great groups of people donate toiletry items for folks living in our emergency shelter. Or clothing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Andrea, I hope that we can talk again down the road. And if there's anything like press releases or upcoming events that you'd like us to promote, please email me and we're happy to do that.
Great. Thank you, Rick, so much.
All right. So in the meantime, have a wonderful weekend, and God bless you, and good luck to you. Thank you so much for talking with us this morning, Andrea.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. That is Andrea Jones, who is the Director of Community Programs and Partnerships at HOG for the North Shore, and very difficult job, and the education, the information is getting out there. And as Bill and I talk so much every morning about things going on around the area, a little more niceness would help. So certainly Andrea and all of the staff that work for HOG are on that road. We appreciate it. Wow. Whew. That is that's something. Okay, anyway, again, just let me mention HOG, you can get a hold of information on the website at HOGDV, HAWCDV.org, HAWCDV.org, and all the information is there. And it's all confidential. Looks like it's a very safe way to get a hold of some help as well. This is Trending Now with Josh Arnold. I'm not Josh Arnold. I'm Rick Moore. Josh off today, and our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, the voice of the North Shore, Bill Newell. We've got all kinds of information on the website. We are going to take a little bit more of an extended break so I can check some headlines, and then we'll be back with our next guest. Please stay with us. Our next guest, hopefully, if all goes well, will be Diane Langley. She's a select woman in the city of Danvers, or in the town of Danvers, and we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in Danvers, especially with traffic. We'll be back.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule, and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. There is clearly a difference, not only in selecting the right vehicle for your needs, but selecting the right dealership to buy it from. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com. Alrighty then, we are back with Trending Now with Josh Arnold. I'm Rick Moore. Josh is off, and we're joined now on the phone by the chairwoman of the Selectmen in Danvers, Diane Langley. And Diane, good morning, and welcome to MSO News Sports.
Good morning to you.
Well, Diane, the reason I wanted to get a hold of you, obviously, we try to talk with school committee and city councilors and select people all over the North Shore, but boy, the headlines in the Salem News and the Daily Item jumped out at us this week on a couple of days, and we're going to start right there with that. The traffic pattern at Route 62, the interchange with Route 128, I believe it's around Exit 24 or something like that off 128, but tell us what's going on there.
Well, there was. We have many Danvers and Beverly people that are very upset with trying to get through that intersection. But what really jumped out at us is our police chief gave us some new data on the accidents going on there, and that was what was in the Salem News.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had him come in for a meeting, and he was very good at explaining his frustration. He didn't sit back as some, you know, police chief who's afraid to speak up. He did an excellent job, a great presentation. And so we felt that it was an emergency, that the report they had done, DOT did an audit report in December of 2013, and all of these issues are in there. And since then, they've tweaked a couple of lights, and that's it. Well, in the report itself, it shows that that left-hand turn, which brings you on to 128 North, is the highest accident rate. In fact, we've almost tripled our accidents at that intersection since the state has fixed our intersection.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm very familiar with that. Yep, that's for sure.
Yes, well, you have to sit at my phone and you'll know how exactly.
Well,
so anyways, there's been some solutions. The problem is that we had Representative Speliotis come in,
And the problem is, we're the town of Danvers. The state, it was a state engineers, DOT, who implement this, but the money comes from the federal. And the federal government has this crazy rule that you're not allowed a left-hand red light. Well, that's the most ridiculous thing I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
And but there are other ideas. In fact, getting rid of that ramp itself,
mm-hmm.
and as Representative Spaliota said, and reopening the Liberty Street the old way and letting people go up Route 128 north that way would eliminate that whole bottleneck coming in. So there's many ideas. The police chief has ideas. The our DPW has ideas. The problem is getting them all in a room. So we're only the town of Danvers. What I can do is I can say to my town manager or our town manager and our DPW and our town engineer, we need you to get in a room with the state. Ted Spaliotis was there, and I said to Ted, we need this a report back by June.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no more committees. It's a waste of our time.
Yeah, really.
Committees. It really is. And we have a report, if you ever get a chance to see it, if people want to go on and see it, it's a great report that the DOT did in December of 2013. Well, we're in May of 2016.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, you know,
frustrated.
I know, and it's not the first time that something that wasn't broken got fixed and made it broken. You know, there's another intersection in Danvers, too, over by you know, by the square that comes onto 128, and that was a little gummed up, but that's pretty much gotten okay. And I know in Gloucester there were several places where I don't know who it was, the DPW or the DOT put in stoplights over the years, and it didn't work, and they had to take them back out again. And it seems like one of those cases where it wasn't broke, but there was all that reconstruction around the bridges, so you know, that gummed everything up. So I know that it's...
A lot of it is federal regulation doesn't allow the clover leaf anymore or the left-hand red light. Well, I like a left-hand red light, mm-hmm. because if there's a green light and I think I can yield, I'm going to go. Well, that's what's happening. And as the police chief said, that left-hand turn going up to 128, it's the most crashes, what he's calling a courtesy crashes, where the first group says, go ahead and go.
Right.
Well, then the second lane doesn't see him. It's a very blind spot, and that's where the sideswiping is happening.
Yeah, and you've got two left-hand turns there. You also have a left-hand turn going up, yeah, to 128 South, which complicates it.
Right. But if we could get rid of that one issue,
mm-hmm.
and allow that side to flow. Don't forget, that's the people on the Cummings Center, coming out of the Cummings Center.
Yep.
And I'm happy for Beverly. I mean, anytime you can bring business in, good for you. But, I mean, that's just ridiculous, that backup. And the other place, the other intersection you were talking about, it's the High Street.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you think that's better, but ask the people who are coming, you know, through. They're backed up from there, from that intersection, all the way into Danvers Square.
Oh, wow, yep. Okay, I believe that.
That's just as bad. Yep,
yeah,
that's just as bad.
Yeah, and you have a tremendous amount of volume coming in to go to the Liberty Tree Mall in the other direction. So,
sure.
Yeah, I know that I was coming off of Route 95 recently, and, you know, I go through Danvers on 62 to get back on a 128 North. And it took me as long to get from the bottom of the hill there where the lights are going up the hill toward 128. I took probably 15 or 20 minutes just to traverse that, maybe, 300 yards or so, or 400 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get to the top, as you say, you take your life in your hands trying to make that left-hand turn because you think there's an opening.
Absolutely.
And people speed up coming at you going, you know, down the hill.
Absolutely.
Well, anyway, so the wheels are in motion, and so what on your list of things to check with on this? What's next for you? What do you see? You know, you said that there's a presentation, get people in the room. So what's in the immediate future for you, Diane?
Well, as far as this intersection,
yeah. Well,
what you need to do is you have a report. You do not need committee meetings anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Waste of my time. You need to put the town manager and his staff in a room with the state and their staff in a room. And if necessary, we need to call Seth Moulton. And because if we need to just change the regulation of a left-hand turn arrow, or if we can just move the on-ramp to be the Liberty Street on again, then we'll need his help. If this isn't rocket science. It's not hard to do. We have the data to show that somebody's going to die.
Oh, boy.
So, I mean, you know, they're all pretty smart people. Put them in a room.
Yeah, and let's hope.
That's how I deal with things.
And let's hope they all. Well, they're good for you. I mean, you know, I wish that would happen on a national level, for heaven's sakes, you know. people. Yep. All right, Diane, let's talk. Let's shift gears a little bit, if I may, and talk about some of the good things going on in Danvers and what Josh Arnold generally does on his program. This is his show here. Is he usually asks people about their background, their education, their professional background, or how they get to where they are. So maybe for those of us on the North Shore who aren't familiar with the Danvers Selectmen, how did you get to your position as to where you are?
Oh, well, I'm one of those suckers who always volunteers. So I started out with all the youth sports, Little League football. My son was a very active boy. And then I got I ran for town meeting and got in and absolutely loved that. I had worked younger days for the House of Representatives in the State House in Boston, so I always had a little political fun in me. And after town meeting, I went on to Finance Committee for over 10 years, which is my absolute favorite committee.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you learn what's really going on in your town. And from there, I was appointed to the Board of Selectmen when Selectman Mike Powers had to leave, and then ran, and so I'm 4 years in. I'm having a good old time.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I know that you, as you mentioned, you must get a lot of emails and phone calls regarding stuff. And what is what have you been able to fix? You know, if someone calls for a complaint or needs something done, what's one or two of the things that you are able actually to help people with? I know that you know, in a town the size of Danvers, I'm sure a lot of people know you, and they say, "Hey, Diane, what about this or what about that?" So, what is one or two things that you have actually able to been able to assist people with?
I don't even know if I can think of two. What we do is we're a little different than many towns. We have what's called the Town Management Act, so we work very closely with the town manager. We don't really have issues that, if they can be solved, they aren't. We have a great DPW. That, you know, we always tell the citizens we don't mind them calling us because we can't have people out, you know, seeing everything that goes on. What my latest issue, though, I will say, is we've had many groups come in front of us about open space, historical preservation. And that's not my thing. I like, you know, I think everything should be a ball field. But I recognize that not everybody feels the way I do. I had always wanted the CPA tax in place, and I'll call it a tax because that's what it is. And so we were able to get that through town meeting this year. And my hope is that we can now preserve and enhance our historical buildings, mm-hmm. and some open space because we're getting a little crowded, and also perhaps have some more rail trails. We have a beautiful opportunity to hook from our rail trail right into Middleton. And the Middleton would like to have us do that also, mm-hmm. out at one of their elementary schools. And I've walked it, and I took all the chicks with me home, but walked it. And it's a, you know, so there's a lot we do in this town. We're really an outdoor recreation type town.
You have two of the most beautiful ballparks in the world, I think, and, you know, the baseball field. And then now you've got not only a beautiful brand-new high school, but also a brand-new stadium.
Well, thank you. That was another one of my babies. I didn't want to say that because everybody thinks all they care about is ball fields. But, yes, that was important. In fact, we just toured it the other day. If you ever want to come tour it, feel free to. You know, we can have somebody bring you around. But it's absolutely gorgeous. At this point now, we'll be able to have the graduation there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the track will go down by the end of the summer. Pretty much the field itself, the track, will be all set.
Well, we've done a number of games over there from the basketball, from the gymnasium with Andy St. Pierre and the coaches and so on. And Andy has told us there's a press box now that we can actually fit into, so we will be broadcasting some football games from the new Danvers field.
And you'll have heat, which really upsets me. You'll have heat, and I won't.
Yeah, well, you know, what can I say? I mean, I'm a lot older than you, so I need it. How about that? That works. No, but it is really fantastic, and congratulations to everybody involved in that project. And the kids, it's really great when the kids can get to enjoy that. And as you said, graduation is now scheduled for outdoors at the field?
That's right. That's right. They had to wait, you know, certain safety things to be implemented, mm-hmm. you know, especially with bleachers. And at this point, there is David Lane, our DPW director, has said it's a go. So we're very excited for that. The school department was holding their breath all year because they didn't mm-hmm. really have a plan B. So we're very happy.
Excellent, excellent.
Yes.
Well, Diane, is there anything else you'd like to brag about or mention before I let you go?
Nope, I think my town is wonderful. I love it here. I was born here at Hunt Memorial Hospital, and I've never left. So it's just a great town.
Absolutely. And then the whole North, I love it all. I love it all. Diane, I'm hoping that we can make this a sort of a semi-regular thing, or I can check in with you from time to time to catch up on Danvers happenings.
Sure, absolutely.
Awesome. All right. Well, in the meantime, have a great weekend, and thank you so much.
Thank you. Happy Memorial Day.
Take care. Yep, absolutely. All right, that is Diane Langley, who is chairperson at the at Danvers, the Danvers Board of Selectmen. Diane involved very much in the getting the attention over to Route 62 at 128, the interchange there that has been such a bottleneck for many accidents, and very active in trying to get that situation finished. So we appreciate her talking with us this morning. This is Trending. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. It is Trending Now with Josh Arnold. Josh off today, not able to be here, but he'll be back in a few weeks. We're going to try this time slot at 10 a.m. live, and then, of course, on demand and looping after that, and, of course, posted on our website. If you have suggestions for interviews or features that we might do on Trending Now, please email me at msonewsports@gmail.com, and there's only one S at the beginning, msonewsports.com. It's news and sports combined, sharing the S. msonewsports@gmail.com is the email address. All right, we'll be back with our final guest in just a moment or two.
MSO Radio is where you can hear North Shore news and sports newsmakers, such as Newburyport High School football coach Mike Levine.
So the first thing for me is going to be to incorporate a lot of the wonderful guys that worked here last year with Coach Gaudiano, along with any new staff members that we bring on, and make sure that I have a staff that kids feel comfortable with, that I feel comfortable with, and I'm sure we'll end up with some excellent football coaches, and together we'll put this team where it needs to be.
Good luck to Newburyport head football coach Mike Levine. This is MSONewsSports.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're thinking about replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson Woodright replacement windows. Why Anderson? With low E glass, low maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interiors, you can turn simple window replacement into significant home improvement. See the Anderson Woodright replacement windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, and Plastow, New Hampshire.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, we're back on Trending Now with Josh Arnold with Greg Verga, a familiar voice on our programs and on MSO News Sports as Gloucester City Councilor. But we're going to talk a little bit different stuff here today. Hi, Greg.
How's it going, Rick?
Going pretty well, and I guess the first thing we should mention is let's catch up since your run for City Council. Last time, what have you been doing to keep yourself busy? I know City Council isn't a full-time job, but you know, I know that you've been keeping your eye on local politics. So, what have you been doing with respect to that?
I've just sort of been a casual observer. Several of the new councilors call me now and again to pick my brain on issues, but that's about it. I'm sort of staying on the sidelines.
Okay.
And enjoying it.
Well, I'm sure, and I'm sure you have your opinions that maybe we will talk about at some point, or maybe we won't. I don't know, but a lot going on, of course, in the community. But the reason we're talking this morning is that you have a terrific new idea for a program that we're going to try to implement here in a couple of weeks, and let's get right to it. First of all, Greg, as Josh would do, he asks people about their background, and you know, I don't think we've ever really talked about that with you. Tell us a little bit about your biography and how you got to where you are, maybe professionally, and then we'll talk a little bit about the music.
All right. Well, let's see. I guess you could say I was a musician in high school. The plan was to go to Berkeley, but I ended up getting married right out of high school, so that plan didn't happen. But things happen for a reason, as they say. So just the way things worked out in my life, I became interested in local politics because I had kids at a young age, so I ran for school committee. I did that for 8 years. I was working full-time, going to school at night. So after school committee, after 8 years in the school committee, I made the jump to city council. Did that for 6 years. And as many people know, last year I ran for mayor. And finishing third, that was the end of my run for mayor. And I did a write-in campaign for council. Got about 2,200 write-in votes, which is pretty good. but not enough. So what I did is just sort of took it as a positive thing, walked away from city government, and picked up my guitar a little more on a full-time basis.
So pick up my guitar and play. All right.
I mean, I had like a 25-year hiatus from music. I mean, I always played, mm-hmm. you know, over the last number of years. But I, you know, used to play in high school, and we'd have, you know, play events. And then I didn't do anything for like 25 years. And then when I was running for mayor, I hired a band to play a function for me, and their bass player was leaving town, moving away. So they asked if I could fill in. Next thing you know, I'm their full-time bass player. That's Moonraker. We're actually playing at Captain Carlos tonight at 9 o'clock. But I started, I guess, immersing myself into the local music scene and realizing that it's a really happening scene right now around here. So
to coin a phrase, yeah, okay.
so that leads me to the idea that, you know, we talked about is a program on MSO that would be specific to the local music scene, you know, Gloucester, Cape Ann, and the North Shore area. And so the idea is to bring people in, you know, it's called Unfinished Music, and it's because it's going to take place in my studio, which is in my unfinished basement.
Mm-hmm.
So sort of like a little double entendre there. So the idea is to bring guests into the studio here to talk about their background, promote their latest project, you know, their upcoming gigs, and do either in-studio performance and or play some recorded music if they're.
I think... Yeah, I can't wait. I think it's going to be awesome. And I don't know, Greg, let's start. A couple of questions I have. As a bass player, do you play other, I mean, can you play, rhythm guitar, lead guitar also? I don't know how that works. Do you do that too?
Oh, yeah. I started on guitar, and then I switched to bass, like most bass players, because nobody else in the band wanted to do it. And but yeah, I enjoyed, bass is my primary instrument, but I do play rhythm guitar, play lead, you know, not as awesome as some people are, but I can get by.
All right, so let's start with tonight. We might as well promote what's going on tonight. Tell us about Moonraker and where and when and maybe the kind of music that Moonraker plays.
Sure. So Moonraker is a six-piece cover band, two guitars, bass, drums, and then a lead singer and a backup singer. And we do covers that run the range of, I think the earliest thing we do is probably the mid-70s with Stuck in the Middle, you know, with Steeler's Wheel, right up to today's hits, you know, what if, Tom Petty, The Cure, let's see, Death Cab for Cutie. It's a pretty wide variety, so if you don't like one song, stick around because there'll be something else you like.
Well, okay, who's in the band?
So it's Dylan Girard is the guitar player. We have Amy Pritchard is the lead singer. Missy Spargel is the backup singer. Adam Quinn is the drummer. And then Nate, our lead guitarist, is quite an interesting guy. So if you come by, he'll steal the show.
Okay. All right, and what time is it now? You said Captain Carlos, which is right off of Roger Street on the waterfront in Gloucester. What time?
So we start at 9 and go right through to midnight.
Excellent. All right, now, Greg, let's talk about what we're planning for our first program and maybe some of the musicians in the area that you know who you are going to try to get a hold of.
Yeah, well, I've talked to a few that have expressed interest. Dan King is so far lined up to be on our inaugural show, which I think we're shooting for the middle of June, so hopefully around June 15th. That's going to be the tricky thing, is trying to get people's schedules, but ideally we'd like to do a live show in the early afternoon. So,
mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't want to name names yet because I haven't got any firm commitments. I've got a lot of interest, though.
Well, I would think so. And of course, I don't know about musicians playing at, you know, in the middle of the afternoon, but I've actually heard rock people on the Today Show, so, you know, in the morning. So they can do it. They can get up before dusk.
Well, the thing is, a lot like myself, a lot of people who play are also working full-time jobs.
Well, there is that. There definitely is that. But I would think that... I'm sorry, Greg, say that again.
the full-time job that can be getting in the way of things.
Yeah, I know. I'm familiar with that concept. The other thing, Greg, is we haven't really talked about this. I'm going to give my email address, and I don't know if you want to give out your information, but I would think if there are bands in the area, aspiring musicians or professional musicians who would like to avail themselves of this opportunity, it's similar to what we do with our other interviews. We want to promote what you're doing, and needless to say, we're trying to make a buck along the way, too, with advertising. But give me a show, drop an email off to msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com, or you can actually call our hotline. We have a hotline. It's a sports hotline, but you can leave a message there. It's 978-325-3638. It's automated. It goes right to our studio, 978-325-3638, and let us know if you'd like to be on or if you have a suggestion for someone who you think might want to be on. We're going to start these probably a couple of times a month, and we will promote them. We'll let you know when they're going to be. And as I said, we're shooting for June 15. But, Greg, would you want to pass along some information as to how to contact you?
Yep, they could. Mine's easy enough. It's greg@gregverga.com. So G-R-E-G, just one G on the end, at gregverga.com. Or you can call me at 508-284-3399, 284-3399, and I'm a real estate agent, so I'm not sitting in an office that I won't be able to pick up the phone if they call me at strange hours, so I'm happy to pick up and chat with anybody who wants to talk about the project, whether it's suggestions for guests or people who would like to be a guest.
There you go, exactly so, and my number too, 978-325-3638, it's automated, it's 24 hours, so you can call it any time, and you won't be waking anybody up, but we will definitely get right back to you. Greg, I think this is going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to it, and I can't wait to get started. But in the meantime, have a blast tonight. I'll try to get over there.
All right. Thanks a lot, Rick.
All right, Greg. Thank you. Talk to you later. Oh, Greg, wait. One more thing. Oh, too late. All right.
Yep.
Anyway.
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Does the band have a website? Your band?
Actually, we're on Facebook. That's the best way to find us. In the search bar on Facebook. Moonraker, one word, MOONRAKER, and you could sign up to get subscribed so you can be kept up to date with the events. We have a number of shows coming up throughout the summer, and I'm working on a Facebook page for unfinished music, so that'll be there soon, so stay tuned.
All right, you got that right. Stay tuned. Okay, Greg, have a great weekend.
You too. See
Take
there.
Care. That's Greg Verga, former Gloucester City Councilor, former mayoral candidate, present-day musician. And we're going to be starting a show called Unfinished Music in a couple of weeks on MSO News Sports. Our first program we're shooting for June 15. And we do have this news release from the Coast Guard. The Northeast Coast Guard will welcome the 2016 boating season by participating in National Safe Boating Week, which begins Saturday and runs through May 27. National Safe Boating Week marks the informal beginning of summer and Coast Guard crews throughout the Northeast that will be on patrol paying particular attention to recreational boating safety and promoting safe boating practices. This year, Governor Baker of Massachusetts signed a proclamation urging all citizens in the Commonwealth to take cognizance and participate in this safe boating event. And the Coast Guard released its 2015 Recreational Boating Stats Report on Tuesday, revealing that boating fatalities nationwide totaled 626, but that's the third lowest number of yearly boating fatalities on record. Excuse me. In the Northeast, recreational boating deaths decreased from 47 in 2014 to 34 in 2015. National Safe Boating Week is the perfect time to check the condition of all your boating gear to ensure everything is in working order. So there's a whole list of rules on the website for the Coast Guard. Be sober, have all your safety equipment on board and checked, and for God's sakes, be careful. Whew. All right, that's it. If you have, again, recommendations, comments, send them along to msonewsports@gmail.com. Trending Now with Josh Arnold, heard most Fridays here on msonewsports.com. And, oh, I'm sorry, the email is msonewsports@gmail.com. I think I said that. msonewsports@gmail.com. And Monday, it will be North Shore Sports Night at 7 p.m. That's our next live radio broadcast. And, of course, daily, North Shore Today with Bill Newell. You'll see it all over the website. Check it out. Many, many interviews. Got a lot of interviews to upload today, too, so come back and check things out. This is Trending Now with Josh Arnold. I'm Rick Moore for our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Have a great weekend.
This is MSO Radio at msonewsports.com.